This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, October 11th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air on the memorial of Pope St. John the 23rd and Columbus Day, a federal holiday here in the United States. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, did you know that on Mondays, the traditional devotion is for the souls in purgatory in which we pray for our loved ones and for our friends. Now, can you believe that we're less than 2 months away from the first Sunday of Advent on November 28th, and Christmas will be here before you know it. This Advent season, let's proclaim Christ in our neighborhoods. Relevant Radio wants to give you and your family a beautiful hand-painted nativity scene for your lawn outside your home. You can sign up at relevantradio.com/nativity to win one of only 200 nativity sets valued at over $500. Let's make this Christmas a Christmas to remember by making room for Christ inside our hearts and outside our homes. There's only a few days left this week until midnight Central Time on October 15th to sign up, so do it now. Register at relevantradio.com/nativity. Hey, you just might be one of the winners, so sign up. Now, we start every day, every hour, giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, in this year of Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit. Whenever we pray, and we do this every day, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up momentarily, financial expert Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, will have the latest on Bitcoin and the financial markets. And a little bit later in the show, at the bottom of the hour, we'll have my conversation with political analyst Alfonso Aguilar on the humanitarian crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. As we do every morning, the power scripture from the playbook of life is from 2 Corinthians 5:7. The Apostle St. Paul wrote, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." This is a short but powerful verse on the importance of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God or to attain eternal life. Walking by faith means to follow the Lord, to keep going, even if you don't know where you're going. St. Paul also reminds us that we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Nothing is impossible with God. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Pray with great confidence always. Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now let's talk about the financial markets and the latest on Bitcoin, which has been in the news in recent days and months. According to MarketWatch, Bitcoin saw a momentous rise last week, up 12.7% from the previous week as of Friday. By Wednesday, the cryptocurrency recorded a seven-day gain of 33.5%, which is the best seven-day performance since February this year, according to their research team at the Dow Jones Market Data. Joining us now to discuss how the financial markets and Bitcoin is doing in recent days is longtime Morning Air contributor Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Senecal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for your time. It's always great to be with you.
Oh, man. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me again. This is just amazing.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a few weeks since the last time that you were on the show. Can you give us a brief update on the markets? What's going on with the stocks and bonds and cryptocurrency?
Sure. Well, the last time I was on was in September. Since my last interview, the growth part of the component of the economy, right? Companies that don't pay dividends are down around 5%. S&P 500 is down 1.44%. We have the commodities are higher, so we have gasoline and crude oil up 7% and 8%. Natural gas has been a strong gainer at around 7%. And like you said, Bitcoin was up between 28% and 33%. Ethereum, which is like the silver, like if Bitcoin is gold, Ethereum is silver, up 24.5%. But overseas, the markets did pretty poorly. So we have Japan. Japan is down. What I should have done is I should have been a little bit more careful on the Japanese and overseas markets since my last interview. But year to date, Japan is down 18%. Asia is down 25%. Chile down 33%. BRIC, which is called Brazil, Russia, India, China, down about 18% year to date. And the bond market in the United States is down roughly 4%. So I still think that there are people looking at their portfolio saying, hey, you know, it always seems like things are going so well on the radio, but my account really isn't, keeping up what's going on. And so what we're seeing is this big divergence, this big, pot of soup being pulled in many different directions. And so I think that's generally how the markets have done. And honestly, I just can't believe with my own ears that I have the opportunity to talk about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies on this show. Because it wasn't that long ago, people thought I was absolutely out of my mind. But really, the thing I'd like to share, John, with you and with the audience is this is probably the third time I brought up the stock market bubble, the Federal Reserve injecting so much liquidity into the marketplace and how it's affected every single asset class, right? It's affected bonds and commodities and stocks. And there's like no safe place to go, right? So my theory was that if people were looking to take some chips off the table and let the bubble work for us. I brought up on two previous occasions some long-term care insurance. And I'm going to probably bring it up for the last time this year, and I'll tell you why. As I was at an event this week. It was a continuing education seminar. And someone had brought up the question, do they pray the rosary in nursing homes? And then this led to a further discussion about daily mass and weekly mass. And what exactly does that look like in retirement communities and in nursing homes? And the person who gave the presentation basically said this. There's two forms of retirement care. There's two forms of dementia or Alzheimer's or assisted living. It's private pay and there's public pay. Now, the private pay is exactly what you think. You kind of get what you pay for, right? It's the facilities are generally better and cleaner, and they tend to care for the residents in a much more a la carte kind of way, where what you pay for is what you get. If you're public pay, which is like I'm going to say it's the lowest form or the least expensive form of care, you might have two or three people in a room, and generally it's a state-run facility, and you don't generally get rosary and mass. At those places. So I know no one wants to talk about long-term care. Nobody wants to talk about dementia. But the reason why I bring it up is because in 45 more days around the Thanksgiving table, that's when the most families get together and say, hey, how's mom and dad doing? And then one of their siblings will say, well, they're not so good. We need some help. And so Mother Teresa said, love begins by taking care of the closest ones, the ones at home. And I'm not trying to push long-term care here, okay? This is not an insurance sales job here. But what I'm saying is that for someone who's talked about it as much as I have, the spiritual component actually escaped me until this week. And so what we want to do is we want to have a conversation with people, with our loved ones, with an insurance guy, say, hey, My mom listens to Relevant Radio every day. It would be important for her to say the pray the rosary in Polish. Like, what does that look like in my neighborhood? And so what I want to do is just let people begin thinking about, like, let's just table the financial benefits for now, and let's just talk about the spiritual aspects. And so that's really what I wanted to bring to the attention of your listeners, John, is that spiritual component of private pay and versus public pay. And we want to do everything we can to get on the private pay side.
Absolutely, Bill. And believe me, this is something that for this reporter, it hits home, because my own mom is in a private pay nursing home facility. And thanks be to God, she's in a Catholic facility with the Little Sisters of the Poor here in Chicago. So I have experienced firsthand the importance of planning and of being in a position to be able to choose where your parents go. And I think that this is a very important conversation. I think it's something that all families need to have, because at some point down the road, it could be decisions need to be made. And so I know you've been very fervent about the importance of planning for long-term care. Like you said, we're not trying to get people, sell them long-term care insurance per se, but I think that having the conversation of how are you going to fund your nursing home or your assisted living home or your independent living facility, how is that going to happen? What's it going to look like?
Well, that's really great. And again, I'm going to offer the listeners and anybody who contacts me either by calling or sending an email, I have a brochure. It's 36 pages. It's a step-by-step guide to receive long-term care. And I like it because it doesn't push product. It's like a worksheet that you could sit around with your loved ones, have a conversation, and find out if you have, what are your assets look like? What are you looking for? What kind of care do you think you want? And it just helps you write a plan. It helps you have that conversation, what to expect. And it's just a super helpful guide. And most people will look through it, and it's got, it's very attractive to the eye. Don't get me wrong. It's a beautifully done brochure. And anybody who wants that, I can send a hard copy out or I can send an email. But again, for me, I had one older sister, and my mom and dad are not that close to their faith. Right. So for us, it really wasn't a conversation that we could have. But it was something we really wanted to have. And then again, my mom passed away this February, at age 88. And, the spiritual concept and the spiritual topics really didn't come in until the very, very end. And by then we were like, oh my gosh, we're dealing with all this other stuff. Now we have to talk about, the spiritual side. I mean, not everybody who listens to Relevant Radio lives in this, this Brady Bunch kind of home where we're all going to mass together and praying the rosary together. It's not like that, at least. It's not on this side. So I just think it's really important conversation, because Thanksgiving and Easter are the two biggest times when family members begin filing claims or begin the admission process to a assisted living or a retirement facility, because we finally get together, right? And we're sitting at the table and, we see mom and dad not doing so good. And again, long-term care isn't some kind of magic bullet, right? All it is it's a way of closing the expense gap between what you own in assets and what it costs to have the kind of retirement care and things that you want around you. Will they be able to pay for a visiting priest? Can you pay for a driver to take you to daily mass, right? Because you don't get that kind of care generally in state-run facilities. And I just think it's an important conversation to have. And every little bit helps. That's all.
Absolutely. And Bill, the difference between a state-run facility and a Catholic nursing home is a vast universe. I mean, to be able to go to daily mass, to be able to receive the sacraments, to be able to just have faith as part of a nursing home is such a big plus for any family. And I've been able to see it firsthand. And the work of the Little Sisters of the Poor is absolutely outstanding. What they do support the poor and the elderly is just heroic.
Right. And like most insurance products, John, I'm not going to lie to you. This is almost cliche, but you have to buy it before you need it. Right. And so again, start the conversation. I didn't want to have a conversation with my parents about their five last wishes. I didn't want to talk about, Catholic burial versus cremation versus, other topics. Nobody wants to talk about this, especially at a holiday dinner, right? But you kind of, it's better to have the conversation now than when it's too late and you're grasping for straws and you're making quick decisions in a very stressful, time period. And so, again, the Catholic facilities, I would love to see Relevant Radio actually move into this area, because, like, what could be better than for Relevant Radio than to say, hey, our listeners are faithful people, and the most important thing to them is their faith, and they're not motivated by financial aspects. They're not, people of financial, they don't focus so much on the finance. They focus on their faith. And so we're going to create the relevant nursing homes chain, where we have, Father Rocky celebrating Mass every day, or we're praying the rosary in Polish and Italian and maybe even in Latin. And that's the part of the care, because, it's just so important. And my mom was in a hospital only for a short time before she passed away. And it was a religious hospital. The difference in the way people show up was just amazing. And it's not perfect, but, goodness gracious, dear Lord, it was edifying to see that the nurses weren't there because they were making salary. They were there because they really wanted to help people. And it's just, wow, it just makes the end of days and the end of life conversation so much better. And, people talk about things from a spiritual perspective.
We're joined by Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, talking about the markets, Bitcoin, and also the importance of long-term care in one's planning. Can you give us just a couple of highlights of what is in your free step-by-step guide to receiving long-term care? And also, by the way, give us the number and where people can contact you if they want to get your plan.
Sure. Well, they can call me at area code 847-686-4800. That's 847-686-4800. Or you can email me at info@senecalcapital.com. That is info@senecalcapital.com. And so, it'll take me a second to pull up the brochure, but basically it talks about, do you have a power of attorney for healthcare in place? Do you have power of attorney for finance? Do you have something called a pulsed agreement for the doctor, so that if you have this, a pulsed form is a portable medical order form, and it usually sits with a magnet on your refrigerator. And when if your mom and dad have an event, when the paramedics showed up, how do you want care provided to you based on the needs of the people? They talk a lot about private care versus public care, the payment options. And again, it's just a conversation to have. What does it look like? What does retirement cost? What does retirement look like? And again, to have that type of conversation. Can you afford home pay, or is it going to be institutional pay? What does it generally cost, roughly $25 an hour now to have someone come to your home and take care of a loved one? How do you manage the liquidation of a home, right? Because there's a lot of people who live in, the kids are gone, you're empty nesters, and maybe you can't maneuver a three-story home, right? You need to find a place that's on one floor. And so really, it's not anything that we haven't already had a conversation about. It's just a type of conversation that focuses, very importantly on what things are going to look like in retirement. I'm sorry, in post-retirement, in final care.
Bill, we've got about a minute to go. Just real briefly, the importance of having the right financial advisor in terms of helping you to buy long-term care. A couple of keys to finding the right kind of agent.
Well, that's really a great question. So you can talk to just about any financial planner can help you have the conversation. Any investment advisor can help you have the conversation, because there's two conversations. One is the insurance side, which is what type of policy do you want? When does it kick in? Because a lot of people think that long-term care is you use it or lose it, but there's new products out here where if you don't use it, you get a substantial portion of your money back to your state. So to have that conversation about what type of policy do you want, And secondly, you have to make sure that you don't overdo the insurance side at the risk of your financial plan and your 401k retirement assets or your home assets, because you're still going to need to live and buy medication, and you want to go out to an opera, or you want to visit your family. And so it's a perfect decision between finding a policy that isn't too expensive, so you don't suffer and put a dent in your retirement assets because people are living longer, versus finding just the right amount of care to take the edge off and provide a healthful, dignified, loving, spiritual end of life and you know, the last few years that we're here.
Well, Bill, really appreciate your insights, your expertise, and your recommendations here on the importance of long-term care. And thanks for the update on the markets as well. Always a joy to be with you, Bill.
Thank you, John.
Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, we'll have my conversation with political analyst Alfonso Aguilar on the humanitarian crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us. Always good to be with you here to start your week on a Monday morning. Now, last month, thousands of Haitian migrants congregated under a bridge that connects Mexico with Del Rio, Texas. The Biden administration faced a ton of criticism from all angles over its handling of an influx of Haitian migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border. In fact, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said that the Texas National Guard is gearing up at the border for increased caravans attempting to cross the border caused by Biden's open border policy. They're working with the Texas Department of Public Safety to seal surge locations at the border and arrest trespassers. Listen to my conversation with attorney and political analyst, our regular contributor, Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles, also a frequent guest on Fox News, MSNBC, Telemundo, Univision, and CNN en Español, who spoke to me about the Haitian migrant situation and the humanitarian crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. Good morning, Alfonso. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for being with us again.
Of course. Good morning, John. Glad to be with you.
Alfonso, first of all, I'd like to get your reaction to Texas Governor Greg Abbott's tweet saying that the National Guard is gearing up on the U.S. southern border as this large migrant caravan is approaching. What is going on? What is the latest?
Right. Well, Texas, the government of Texas has to do something. This is just really getting out of control. And it's not only people that are being detained and then released, but you have areas in the Del Rio sector where people are easily entering the country. So it creates an immediate problem for those border communities. The governor Abbott is doing it's really, you know, it's sad because immigration, taking care of the borders, is a federal responsibility. It's clearly in the Constitution as a federal duty. But because we are seeing an administration that is not assuming its responsibilities, the state of Texas has to get involved, and you know, I commend Governor Abbott for what he's doing. But you know, it's incredible that you know, the administration keeps saying that the border is closed when we are actually see on a daily basis images of people entering illegally. When the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, said just last week that with the Haitians, they had detained and released over 12,000 that were dispersed into the country. The message that sends to people is, you know, make it to the border. you may be able to get in. Mallorca said that 9,000 Haitians returned to Mexico, but I can guarantee you that those Haitians are going to come back and try to get in. And look, Haiti has been through a very, for many years, through very difficult times, earthquakes, hurricanes. It never stops with Haiti, and we have to really pray for them. But this is not the way to resolve Haiti's problem. And, you know, the Haitians that came to our border came from Chile, from Brazil. You know, who is paying for their movement from South America to North America? I think we have human traffickers involved, drug traffickers, and I think perhaps even some governments, socialist governments like Venezuela and Cuba that want to encourage instability in the region.
Absolutely. And in fact, the criticism has come from both sides of the aisle. Obviously, Republicans heavily criticizing the Biden administration, but it's even coming from within the own Democratic Party. There's a mayor down in Texas, Mayor Pete Sines of Laredo, who has been basically blasting the Biden administration over this border crisis. He said it was working under Trump. And this is a Democrat saying this stuff.
Well, again, look, we're called to deal with immigrants in a compassionate way. I think America continues to be a welcoming country, and we just have to look at the numbers of people that we receive legally every year and give permanent residency every year. Even during the Trump years, we were giving over a million people green cards, permanent residency, people who choose to come here to live permanently.
Legally,
but that's a million, right? That's a huge number. And every year, even during the Trump years, we naturalized over 700,000 people. We made them American. So proportionally, no other country is as welcoming and receives so many people legally. So, but we cannot resolve all the problems in Latin America and the world by just opening the border and letting people in. And what this administration is doing is not only sending a message, which now they're changing, saying don't come, but it's too late because they've done away with the border measures that Trump put in place. But they also liberalized, and this is very important, they liberalized the asylum process, basically including new categories of people that can be considered for asylum, and also just liberalizing the processing and what you have to show to get asylum. So it's easier to get asylum. And again, that's a magnet. I think our asylum laws are in place to protect people who are individually persecuted for political, religious reasons. But now we're using that to let people in, and it's clearly done for that, to let more people in, to find an excuse to let more people in, and who generally don't qualify for asylum. And I think that's just very cynical. But imagine if we let over 12,000 Haitians in of this last group that arrived, how many have we let in since this started? In this fiscal year, we've received over 1.5 million people have arrived irregularly at our border. This is a travesty, and it's not human. As I was saying, we want to welcome the immigrant, but we want to do it legally. We don't want to encourage this massive movement of people. What we saw under a bridge in the Rio, 15,000 people, it looks horrible. It's not humane.
The conditions were unbelievable. We all saw the images. I mean, they had made these makeshift huts with branches and leaves. It was unbelievable, some of the things that we saw on television.
But this is the whole thing. You know, it's ironic. Even good people that are well-intentioned and said, well, we have to welcome people, so we have to, you know, do away with those border security measures that Trump put in place so we can be more welcoming. Well, that attitude may be well-intentioned by some, but it creates this inhumane situations. So that's why, you know, having tough law enforcement measures at the border helps send a message that you can't get in. It dissuades people from actually trying to do what, you know, from coming illegally. And, you know, this is a very, Mayorkas keeps saying that this is regular, that we've seen this before. We've never seen this at this level. We've now, the numbers are higher than 20 years ago. And not only that, but usually during the summer, those numbers go down because of the heat, and the numbers actually went up and have remained high. The numbers for August were around 200,000 again. We're waiting now for the numbers for September, but I suspect we'll remain very high again. This is not stopping. So I think the administration is just the dereliction of duty. They're not assuming their responsibility. I don't think they're being very transparent with Congress. Congress wasn't aware that the government had allowed over 12,000 people, Haitians, into the country. You know, before Mayorkas said that last Sunday, he had been testifying in House and Senate, and he didn't say that. So it's really troubling.
We're going to take a short break as we continue my conversation with the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles, Alfonso Aguilar. Stay with us. There's much more on the other side of the break. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Always good to be with you here to start your week on a Monday morning. Now, last month, thousands of Haitian migrants congregated under a bridge that connects Mexico with Del Rio, Texas. The Biden administration faced a ton of criticism from all angles over its handling of an influx of Haitian migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border. In fact, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said that the Texas National Guard is gearing up at the border for increased caravans attempting to cross the border caused by Biden's open border policy. They're working with the Texas Department of Public Safety to seal surge locations at the border and arrest trespassers. Listen to my conversation with attorney and political analyst, our regular contributor, Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles, also a frequent guest on Fox News, MSNBC, Telemundo, Univision, and CNN en Español, who spoke to me about the Haitian migrant situation and the humanitarian crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. Well, here on Relevant Radio, obviously, we're looking at this issue of immigration. We try to look at it from a Catholic perspective, and obviously what our shepherds have to say is important. What is your take on what the U.S. bishops are saying about this humanitarian and immigration crisis at the border?
Well, I think the message that the church is sending and the Conference of Bishops is sending, I, as a Catholic, obviously agree with completely, that we have to treat migrants, even those arriving in large numbers at our border, in a humane way. And that's what the conference has said regarding to this latest crisis with the Haitians at the border, that we have to be humane. Obviously, we have to be humane. Now, the policy prescription, what to do, what sorts of measures, that's obviously prudential. And there are different opinions. That's where perhaps I differ a little bit with my good friend, Archbishop Dorsonville. He's the auxiliary bishop of Washington, D.C., and presides the Commission on Migration. He said that he issued a letter saying that often forced removal,
forced deportation of migrants and removing migrants under Title 42 can lead to inhumane situations. And look, you know, this is a prudential issue. There are different opinions. I would disagree with that because if we don't remove people, we're gonna see more people come in more inhumane situations. So this is a terrible situation. And clearly what's happening in Haiti is it's very, very difficult, as I said. But the solution is not to tell them, you know, come in any way you can to the southern border of the United States and we'll let you in, because then we're going to have even more people. As I've said, that journey to the southern border is very dangerous. So a lot of people are going to face very inhumane situations. And then obviously we're going to have thousands at the border to be processed in very dire situations. That is not the answer. But as I've said, as Catholics, I think we have to see the situation with compassion. And try to understand, you know, how can we help these individuals? We can only say this is an issue of national security, or which it is, or even of health policy, which also it is, because a lot of people are arriving with COVID or some other diseases. But we have to think of the migrant. And I think at this point, this is not the way. A massive migration is just really, and I've been in interviews I've done with you in the past, I've always mentioned Cardinal Sarah, who has said that this massive migration, he said, it's hell. It's a new form of slavery. We cannot encourage it. And certainly what the administration has done right now is to create magnets. People are coming here from all over Latin America and actually from the world. We're seeing people from Africa arriving in the southern border. This is not good for people. And plus, we have to think also of their home countries. What do we do to create or improve situations in their home countries so they don't leave? I think that is the answer. But even that is very difficult, right? Because they are sovereign countries. So it's a very complicated situation. I don't think there are perfect answers. But I do know one thing, and that is that we can dissuade considerably that massive movement of people by putting in place common sense measures. We don't want people to, as bad as the situations may be in their home countries, we don't want them to make a journey that may be even more dangerous.
Absolutely. And in fact, as we speak, there's reports that DHS is monitoring 20,000 more Haitians that are in Colombia, in South America, on their way north. And they're expecting they could be as many as 40,000 Haitians coming into the country just here in the month of October.
Well, just last week, the Panamanian government, which never really complains about anything, complain about Biden's policies, because many of those individuals, I mean, to begin that journey through Central America, they have to go through Panama. And they're complaining that, in a way, clearly, the Biden administration has created a regional migration crisis by sending that message, you know, come to the United States. And the problem is, again, it's not only the message, is that thousands are getting in illegally or getting in because they're detained, because they ask for asylum, even though they don't have a legitimate claim for asylum. They get in and then they're released. Because there's just so many, we don't have it. And this is also a reality. When you're thinking of policy, you have to think of your capabilities. We don't have the resources to process these people. And even to guard the border. That's why the border's overwhelmed. That's why so many people are entering illegally. You know, something that happened in the past days when we had the situation was that the Border Patrol was sent to try to control the situation. Just like the police departments have, the units of police to deal with emergency situation, to control mobs,
we had a mob at the border, and they sent on horseback the Border Patrol. By the way, every day, the Border Patrol, until now, has monitored, protected the border on horseback. I've toured the border several times. You know, you always see them on horseback. You know, they intervene. We saw some images that if you just see them, you're shocked because it's a very tense situation. But you have to understand the context of the image to reach a conclusion. And in that case, they were just trying to control the situation to protect the migrants and to protect themselves as well. They were not strapping anyone. The president of the United States said that they were using strapping the migrants with the reins of their horses. That is just not true. And the president of the United States publicly in a press conference basically condemned them, convicted them, saying that they were, you know, abusing these people without any due process. And now there's an investigation, and hopefully they'll be objective. Because those individuals are overwhelmed, they don't have the resources, they put them in a very difficult situation, and instead of supporting them, what we're hearing from the President of the United States is attacking them, denouncing them. So the morale of the Border Patrol is just, they're very frustrated. A lot of them are just not going to do their job. And because they're not going to get any support from the federal government. So right now, our border is being overrun. People know it, and this is going to continue.
Well, Alfonso, we have someone who has seen firsthand what's going on down at the border. Cynthia is joining us from Houston, Texas. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Alfonso Aguilar.
Good morning. Hi, guys. I just wanted to make a comment. Everything you're saying, Alfonso, is spot on. I have a friend that lives down in Del Rio. His father worked for Border Patrol his entire career, and eventually they made it back down to Del Rio, and the roots go deep there. I spent basically 2 weeks or a week in South Texas a couple weeks ago, and in that region near Del Rio, and talked with actually a lot of people along the way from Lytle, Texas, down to Del Rio, basically that entire stretch of 90. And the basic, thing I want to convey is that this is an invasion by people that, yes, they are in some type of trouble, but it's just in mass to the point where our forces are completely overwhelmed. And there's no true vetting process going on that actually vets people for, you know, criminal backgrounds from the people that are good, maybe. And anyways, my friend and I, when I was in Del Rio, went down to the actual border fence, and we were talking with one of the National Guardsmen that was deployed there. God bless our troops, and God bless the people that are actually boots on the ground. And anyways, off camera, off script, I was able to talk with him for a little bit and express, that this actually was an invasion of our country, of our sovereignty. There's a complete, negation of the due process in different parts of the border. And my other friend that actually is from Del Rio basically does water drilling work throughout the region, and he works with a lot of local ranches to do their drilling. Anyways, we've been talking about this stuff for a little while, and he was saying, it's the people that are at the detainment facilities or that are near the bridge, they're only part of it. There's so many more people that go through all the ranches in the region.
Cynthia, we're going to have to leave it right there and just get a quick reaction from Alfonso because we're running out of time. Alfonso, we have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think Cynthia for her comment. It's what I'm hearing from everyone at the border. This is not a regular situation. The border is being overrun. It's totally out of control. And as she said, we don't have the capacity to process them. So we're releasing them, releasing thousands of them, giving them a notice to appear. And from past experience, we know many of them, perhaps the majority of them, are not going to appear and are going to remain here in our country. So I don't think this is the way of doing things.
And that was Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Man of Influence. Franklin Roosevelt's closest advisor during much of his presidency was a man named Harry Hopkins. During World War II, when his influence with Roosevelt was at its peak, Hopkins held no official cabinet position. Moreover, Hopkins' closeness to Roosevelt caused many to regard him as a shadowy, sinister figure. As a result, he was a major political liability to the president. A political foe once asked Roosevelt, "Why do you keep Hopkins so close to you? You surely realize that people distrust him and resent his influence." Roosevelt replied, "Someday you may well be sitting here where I am now as president of the United States. And when you are, you'll be looking at that door there, knowing that practically everybody who walks through it wants something out of you. You'll learn what a lonely job this is, and you'll discover the need for somebody like Harry Hopkins, who asks for nothing except to serve you." Winston Churchill rated Hopkins as one of the half dozen most powerful men in the world in the early 1940s. And the sole source of Hopkins' power was his willingness to serve. 1 Peter 4:10, "As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace."
Thanks so much, Glenn. And I also want to take just a moment to remind you to honor Our Lady, especially here in this month of the Rosary, the month of October. Honor Our Lady today and pray the Rosary for Life this month with Father Rocky for the Family Rosary across America. With all your prayers and your petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every single night of the week. And of course, you can listen to the Family Rosary across America right here on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app, or even on your smart TV, as I have had a chance to do many a time in my living room with the family. I want to bring in our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Sarah, I want to tell you congratulations. Great job over the weekend praying the Rosary with Father Rocky.
Well, thanks, John. You know, it's always very fun to be on the Rosary. You never know what Father is going to talk about.
Absolutely. Sometimes he'll put you on the spot.
He does. And in fact, he did this weekend. So I always have to be kind of ready for something he might throw at me. But, you know, it's always so much fun to pray for our listeners and to kind of get their feedback on the different things that they want to be praying for. So always enjoying it. And it's lots of fun.
And this month, it's especially beautiful to see us working together with our brothers and sisters at EWTN and the Napa Institute, working together to promote a million rosaries here in the month of October, something that is so needed as we continue to pray for an end to legal abortion.
Yeah, that's a big number. But you know what? If everybody works together, we'll get there. And you know what? Everybody working together gets us closer to the end of abortion. It's not just about changing laws, it's about changing minds and hearts and really realizing that's a real life in there. And you know what? Every time I'm pregnant, as I am right now, you feel that kid moving around. It's very heartbreaking to think that some woman thought that she had to make that choice, or she thinks she needs to make that choice, because new life is so beautiful and wonderful. And it's always so wonderful to see what other kids in your family, how they're reacting to the new child. I know my youngest, who's 3, always wants to run up and see my belly. And so he's ripping my shirt up so he can see it and put his head on there and listen. And so touching and loving. So always new life brings love for everyone.
And you are expecting yourself.
I am, yes. Yeah, I'm due in February. And as Father Rocky has mentioned, this is my 5th pregnancy. I have 3 at home, 1 in heaven. So we're very excited. I have a boy and 2 girls, so it'll be good. We're exciting.
We're looking forward and we're praying for you, Sarah. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Reverend Know-It-All, our own Father Richard Simon, the host of Father Simon Says here on Relevant Radio, will be with us to talk about Columbus Day and the controversy. Who was the real Christopher Columbus? And Emily Jaminet, Executive Director of the Sacred Heart and Throman Network, will share some holy habits for praying the Rosary here in October. Don't you dare change that dial. There's much more to come next hour here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.